Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We were classed as nothing. We were told that we came from nothing. We never would be anything. And we would always go back to being nothing.
We must tell the truth here. We were child slaves. I never got educated from them at all.
The only time I fell was when I was bloody hungry and fell down with the hunger. My brother didn't know me when he came to the door.
Who has a right to take someone's life away? Who gives these people, the church and state, the power to take people's lives?
Hi, my name is Stephen, and the title of this podcast is The Magdalens and I. Since my early 20s, and when I first saw Peter Mullen's film The Magdalen Sisters, I've been fascinated by the subject of Ireland's Magdalen laundries. Little did I know the impact that that movie would have on me and the journey that I would go on in meeting with and interviewing 165 Magdalen women. Today, I'm sitting in my kitchen here in Dublin with my good friend Claire, who I've known for 30 years. We've been reminiscing about all those women that I met, and we decided to make a podcast. Claire's going to interview me, and we're going to use the material that I gathered over 16 years to bring the story of the Magdalens to life.
So please, sit back, relax, and let Stephen take you on his extraordinary story of the Magdalens and I.
Right, well, where do you want me to start, I suppose?
Okay, well, if you could just go back to the very beginning, just if you could just tell us how you came involved in the story of the Magdalen laundries, and was there any lead up to this decision that you made, or how did it come about?
I never heard of the Magdalen laundries. I was not aware of a Magdalen laundry. The closest thing, I think, to being an activist would be growing up in a house with a person that has a disability, and I suppose trying to be their champion for them when they were younger, and assisting and advocating and writing letters on their behalf, or supporting my mother and father. That is the closest I think I would have come to being an activist. So I grew up in Mill Street, County Cork. And I have two older brothers and two younger sisters. And I think I've got middle child syndrome, which is, you know, I get blamed for everything, but I'm asked to do everything. But at the same time, they always come back to me to be like, well, what do you think? And I think by 17 or 18, I felt that I had outgrown Mill Street. And I kind of just wanted to do something different, or to explore a world outside of small town Mill Street. And I decided in leaving cert that I wanted to go to college in the UK. And I think, looking back on that now, the reason I would have done that ultimately is because I was probably uncomfortable in myself as a person, because I was gay and I wouldn't have been out, and nobody would have been aware that I had those thoughts or feelings. Now, people might obviously speculate and assume and point and judge and all those things that people do, but I hadn't realized that I was. And I think going to college in the UK was an opportunity for me to think about that, explore that, and get away from what I thought was kind of maybe small mind attitude that you would come across in your local town.
So where did this internal struggle bring you to?
In 2003, I was accepted to Bath Spa University, and I studied film, theatre and communication studies in Bath. And I became really good friends with a guy from Norfolk, And one evening in 2005, he texted me and he said, "Hey, do you want to come over and watch a movie?" And I thought, "All right, grand, like, I'll go over." And I goes, "Oh, what's it about?" So he goes, "Oh, it's just about these nuns that beat up these women in homes." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, apparently they're called Magdalens." And I was like, "Oh, I've never heard of that. I have no idea what you're talking about." So he was like, "Oh, look, just come over. We'll get a takeaway, get a few drinks, and sure, we'll just watch it and see what it was." So my thinking and my understanding of that was this was a fictional story that some director, producer, scriptwriter wanted to tell people about, and it was all, you know, not real. And the more I watched that movie and the more I saw, I suppose, the punishments and the suffering that the women endured, I just kept thinking about the Ireland that I thought I represented, which was a modern, progressive, you know, first female Irish president in the 90s, river dance, you know, the idea of expressing yourself without any inhibition, and this modern new way of thinking, Celtic Tiger, we're the country of a thousand welcomes, all this was just running through my mind. And at the same time, there was nuns kicking the shit out of these women in this film.
"Don't ever interrupt me, girl. Did no one ever tell you that it's bad manners to interrupt, or were you too busy whoring it with the boys to listen? Is that what it was?"
"No, sister."
"And are you simple-minded? Is that what it is? Are you a simpleton? I decide when or if you're allowed to leave, and I think I can safely say it could be quite some time."
So it was the Peter Mullen film, The Magdalen Sisters, that inspired you then?
So I just couldn't have the two sit side by side, because to me that was fiction. And the reality that I lived in was a progressive Ireland. So at the very end of it, when some of the women got out and up on the screen came all these names of all these women that had passed through the doors of the Magdalen Laundry, I was just completely shocked. Like, I couldn't understand how this happened in our country and literally nobody, as far as I could see, was talking about it, was advocating for it, was even acknowledging it. So that really was my first encounter of the Magdalen Laundries. And even at that, I wouldn't have thought much more about it, only the fact that I went home then and I decided to Google it, as you do. And I just typed in, you know, Magdalen Laundries, Magdalen women, survivors, like any kind of words that would be associated to, I suppose, the Magdalens. And then obviously it materialized that, you know, there was loads of Magdalen Laundries operating throughout Ireland as early as the 1900s and as late as, you know, 1996. So like they were in Dublin, they're in Cork, they're in Limerick, they're in Galway, they're in Wexford, they're in Waterford. And then through the research, obviously discovering that women, innocent girls, small young children were being taken into these institutions and essentially they were being stripped of their rights, their dignity. And society just forgot about them, didn't care, didn't want to ask any questions, didn't want to burden themselves as to who were these women, what happened to them, and why were they put into these institutions. And the narrative that kept coming across through all the Google searches and all the articles that I was reading was they were prostitutes, they were unmarried mothers, they were having sex out of wedlock, they were dirty, they were filthy, they were kind of unwanted, and they were shunned by their family, and they were just put in there because they were a disgrace to the family. Couldn't believe like that would have been the thought process of family members, because a woman or a young girl found themselves in a difficult situation. And I think that reinforced my thinking then about leaving small town Mill Street to go and try and discover who I was as a person. And it kind of almost reinforced this ideology that if you didn't fit the stereotype or if you didn't fit the narrative of what people wanted you to be, you just weren't going to ever be accepted. So two things. One was, I'm just going to like put to bed any thoughts or any thinking of my own sexuality, and I'm not even going to address that. And then my second one is, where are these women? Because if they went through these institutions, then they must be alive. And surely somebody would have told their story from a modern day perspective. So where are they now? What are they doing? How are they coping? How did the laundry experience impact their lives? And is there anything that we could do to fix that or to look at that or to understand that? So again, I went back and I Googled more to try and find out more. And then I just found a number of articles like written about the laundries. And just some of the headlines would have been like, how Ireland hid its own dirty laundry. Society has yet to admit its complicity in the Magdalen Laundry scandal, which affected 30,000 women. The big one for me then that just really, really jumped out was Magdalen relatives challenged church. And then when I read the article, it just said that the cremated remains of 133 women known as Magdalens, who spent their lives working in a laundry owned by the Sisters of Charity in High Park, Drumcondra, were reinterred in a common plot on Saturday morning last, 11th of September, at Glasnevin Cemetery. It just goes on to say, people literally broke down at a meeting as they gave their own personal testimonies of the experiences of their families in these types of institutions and appealed for help in tracing relatives. These women lacked choice during their lives and it spilled over into their deaths. So I couldn't believe like that an exhumation had happened, and clearly from the article, the relatives weren't informed that these women who resided obviously in these institutions and died in this particular Magdalen laundry weren't even notified, weren't even told that their relative was going to be exhumed and they essentially were going to rebury it. But even more strange, they were going to cremate the bodies. And when I read that, I thought, there's something not right about that. There's something not right about the treatment of those women. And it's almost as if they're trying to cover up what happened to these women or how these women suffered. And I thought, that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on these women who were forgotten, that don't have a voice and that never had the chance to tell their story or to be part of society in the way that anybody else would be expected to be part of society. So what I decided to do was I signed up to a number of websites that were survivor-led and had family members of survivors that were in Magdalen laundries. And I started talking to those women and their family members. And I was, I suppose, understanding where they were coming from and the hurt that they were feeling. And I had left my number and name with a lot of those women. And then that's when I got the phone call. And that's when everything changed.
So what happened next?
I got a phone call from one of the relatives who asked for their relative to be exhumed and to be kept. And out of the 155 women, only one body was reclaimed by their family.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. but we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.